Today we're going to continue the story of Dan Dvor as written by the Wenatchee World, and we'll talk about his packing experiences. He goes on in the interview, "One time when I was packing in the lumber for the Manson irrigation flume, and that's about the hardest packing job I ever got into, we had to load the lumber on two horses at once. They worked in tandem. Then, when we'd come to a corner, we'd have to unload it and then load it up again. We carried a lot of heavy mining machinery that way, too. Slung it on poles between two horses. We'd have a hoist and a lift and then drive the horse under that. Some of those dynamos and pieces of machinery weighed 300 and 400 pounds. I loaded them on the biggest horses I had, but even so, they could only carry them about 3 or 4 miles at a stretch, and then I'd have to get out the derrick and unload them again. But the horses were pretty smart. Then there was that time we found Nell's Roose. He went up there to his Bridge Creek claim early in the spring to look things over. When he didn't get back in a couple of days, Mr. Field and I went in after him. Snow was drifted 15 feet deep. We found Roos in his cabin, dead. Don't know what killed him. Must have been overexertion. Anyway, we couldn't bury him because there was too much snow, and the ground was frozen too hard. So we wrapped him up in a big, thick mattress and covered him up in a snowdrift. Later in the spring, we went back and buried him. He had rolled out of the snowdrift, but the mattress and the cold weather had kept him in good shape. Huey McKeever was another one that died and was buried up there. Huey was a trapper and was usually out for long stretches, so nobody missed or looked for him. In the spring, a bear hunter from over on the west side ran across Huey's body on one of the trap lines. He had broken his leg some way or other and had dragged himself for a couple of miles before he had froze to death. Huey's buried up there now, near Bridge Creek. It was along about 1907 that I packed Mrs. Reinhardt and her family over the Lake Chelan country. She was sent here by the Great Northern Railway to write about how wild and rugged this country was. The railroad company was trying to get it made into a national park at the time. She was supposed to tell about how it would never be fit for anything but a park, and how no private individuals could ever get it settled or anything. But she didn't do it. I guess the railroad company was pretty mad about her book. She called it Tenting Tonight. She wrote a lot of things about me in there. That was a nice family. Mrs. Reinhardt, her husband, and three boys were about 12, 14, 16 years old. She was a good sport about everything on the trip. I took them up Railroad Creek to Lyman Lake, down Agnes Creek, and up to Stehekin to Bridge Creek. It took 14 days, and I had to use 31 horses to carry all the stuff. I had 8 helpers besides Mills' Great Northern agent, and helpers beside them, including 2 cooks. That was funny. I had to hire 2 cooks because a cook had quit the Reinhardts while they were at Glacier Park, and they didn't have any way of doing without a cook. We had to put up 8 tents every night, but we got along all right, until the horse carrying all the tinware and pots and pans slipped and rolled to the bottom of a gully. It made the darndest clatter you ever heard, and some of the pots and pans were a little beat up. Mrs. Reinhardt sent me a copy of the book, but I loaned it to someone and haven't got it back. Dan hasn't been to Wenatchee since 1928. He didn't go then on his own account, but was taken into court for shooting a deer out of season. Bill Lynn and Lou Ovendahl caught me, he said, after one of my good friends up the lake had informed on me, and Judge Porter in Wenatchee fined me $60 and costs. But you know, that didn't cost me a thing. A bunch of men down in Chelan took up a collection and paid my fine. Nope, I haven't been to Spokane or Seattle, just never had occasion to go. I'd like to have gone back to Iowa once more, but I guess there isn't anyone there now who'd care anything about seeing me. So, that's the story of Dan DeVore.